Blog Talk Radio.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67%. With grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming fruit shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Hello,
folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as general health benefits, giving support, community and encouragement, and other aspects around living the barefoot lifestyle. Barefooting is legal in the United States. Unfortunately, not everyone is aware of this. There is a long ongoing stigmas against barefooting. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that there are laws against barefooting when there are not. No laws have ever existed here in the United States. That belief system and the belief that people have in barefooting being illegal, even though it's not illegal, it is completely legal. A lot of that goes back to a lot of propaganda that rose up in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And this was, a traditionalist movement in response to, the Western counterculture movement and other movements at the time that kind of challenged the status quo. A lot of people had a lot of very hateful opinions and ideologies rooted in these stigmas around barefooting, racism, especially against Indigenous people and Black people in the United States, classism, being against poor people and people who couldn't afford shoes, being just religious fascism in general, religious discrimination, not being accepting of other religious views and spiritualities and religions in which barefooting is a central role. And there are a lot of layers and factors there. And, of course, as time goes on, and there is, progress that, of course, has taken place. But unfortunately, when we're not aware of something, we can't really deal with it. We can't really tackle it. We can't really approach it when we're not aware of something. So unfortunately, this is, although, people have kind of lost sight of the original context in which, people had more hateful opinions that drove their views against anti-barefootedness, like racism, classism, and religious discrimination. Although people may not still associate the discrimination of barefooting against this, these are still factors at play. And unfortunately, there's still factors at play in our society, as there are still people who are not fully understanding, accepting of religions that are more connected to the earth and barefooting. And unfortunately, there are so many other ideology, so many other ideas and, ideology around barefooting equaling, being poor and being dirty or, suspicious, even associations with, drugs. Not that we should put morality on, people's struggles with addiction, looking at that. But there are so many factors of people having harmful ideas and opinions that have been embedded within social context, that have been embedded within the social context in which we look at barefooting. And I know I'm probably not making the most sense right now with this, and I wish I could do a better job of explaining this. But unfortunately, there is a very real history of racism and classism and religious discrimination being rooted in anti-barefootedness. And unfortunately, for different cultures and religions in which barefooting plays a key role, there is still discrimination at play. There is still, lack of acceptance from a general broad perspective that there could be. And unfortunately, I have met people with just very hateful opinions, and it's hard to wrap your head around it. It's definitely hard to understand, but understanding that there are always people that are going to be problematic, but unfortunately we cannot, fixate on that. Just trying to do what we can to encourage and support each other to live in our truth and live in what is right for us. And although I don't talk very much about cultural religious aspects of barefooting here, I do think that is something that we should have in our general conscious mind as barefooters, and understanding that there are, even if you're somebody who doesn't barefoot for spiritual or cultural reasons, there are still people that do, and understanding and having understanding and respect for people and all of our differences as barefooters. There are so many different reasons in which why people barefoot. There are, again, those, cultural, religious reasons, but there are also medical reasons, whether that be due to neurodivergency and mental health or one's physical health. Barefooting is a legitimate accommodation for many different disabilities. Of course, it is not some kind of magical cure that is going to, completely fix you overnight, but it is an aspect of healing and a coping mechanism within your body. But healing is a process that takes time as well. And of course, there's so many other aspects of having to, heal and treat yourself and your different disabilities and illnesses. But I think that it's really important to always know and be aware of different coping mechanisms, tools that can be really used to help in your healing, whether that be due to your mental health or physical health. As someone with chronic pain, there's never, an easy solution. But the more that you are able to find ways of treating that and helping to minimize pain, and helping to also work more naturally with your body and to help understand, that pain that you're experiencing and how you can better work with your body to minimize that, to help recover from that. It is very crucial, and it's very crucial to have as many coping mechanisms as you can when it comes to any chronic illness, disability, or chronic pain. It is exhausting and often feels very impossible. And, barefooting is not, of course, a magical immediate fix, but it is something that does positively impact my life and many others. Even when, there are other reasons within my health, sensory issues, issues, my bones even, it's hard, to explain, but I guess I could try. But here, let me finish this sentence thought. Sorry. I'm trying with words today, but my brain is very messy. So where was I going with this? I may have reasons in which I have to wear shoes for different reasons at times, but that doesn't mean that, having to wear them doesn't still come with negatives. It doesn't mean that I don't still wish that I desperately that I could be barefoot and find a middle ground with my body and in my existence. And definitely wearing shoes, even if there is a more overriding reason to which I have to wear them, it is often still causes a lot of pain and discomfort and can affect my body in negative ways. And so I really do have to take that time to focus on, my feet. And, I have a body massager thing. And so really, focusing on my feet and, making sure that I'm using that, daily, sometimes multiple times a day, whatever is necessary, for anyone, and figuring that out, that can really help with a lot of the muscle cramps that can occur from wearing shoes. Definitely can feel negative effects from, not having that full range of mobility, and not having that full range of mobility definitely can lead to issues in movement and can increase pain. And if you are somebody that has overstimulation issues, this overstimulation, sensory issues, things like that, and shoes are, something that is overstimulating for you, You may realize, you know, just how beneficial barefooting can really be. But of course, everybody has different sensory issues, and sensory issues can be changing throughout. Our experiences are not constantly the same exact sensory experience every day. It is something that is constantly changing due to so many factors within ourselves and within external external forces factors as well. And it is not a one-size-fits-all experience by any means, but it's also not a universal, this is what I experience all the time thing. Sensory experiences can be very complicated. You know, I do encourage people, you know, with sensory issues to, you know, try to see if barefooting helps you, seeing when it may help you and when it may not help you, understanding that, you know, your sensory issues are a very complicated thing, but there are what coping techniques to help. But at the same time, definitely take it slow, take it careful, take it easy. When becoming new to barefooting, introducing yourself to barefooting, even if you're reintroducing yourself to barefooting just from, you know, over the course of winter, not barefooting as much, you know, take it slow, take it easy, take it at your pace. Don't rush into it. You know, check in with your body, check in with your feet. You know, take those times to kind of just stop and think. I know sometimes too with having ADHD and or autism, you can get so caught up in what you're doing in the now and pushing through that you can kind of lose sight of what's going on inside your own internal body, especially if you're caught up in a mask and having to socially perform. And so kind of taking those times to check in, come back to your body, see what's going on with you, which is a process of learning. It is not something that you can, you know, if you're somebody that struggles with these issues, it's not something you can always just, you know, do quickly or right away. And it can be a struggle. And if you are checking in with yourself and you are struggling to know what you're experiencing and what you need, know that that is also okay too. Do not shame yourself for your disabilities or illnesses or neurodivergency, anything like that. Understanding that it comes with natural limitations is a part of loving yourself and taking care of yourself. And understanding that sometimes we just don't know what we need. Sometimes we don't know what we're experiencing, but usually we can tell that something's off, right? Something's not right. Would be that sense of overstimulation, just this nagging, even generalized pain, but you may not be know what the source is or what's causing it. And that can be a struggle. And there's no shame in having that struggle. You know, there's no shame in being the natural way that you are, if that makes sense. You know, there is a lot of, you know, ableism around taking care of ourselves even. And sometimes it can be very hard when you can become almost obsessed with trying to take care of yourself the right way, that it can make things harder, especially if you find yourself socially performing in certain ways where that mask can detach from what's really going on within you. But also interoception can be struggles of their own outside of masking. And interoception is, you know, that issues, interoception issues have to do with, you know, receiving, examining, understanding the different sensations and signals going on in the body and what they mean, and even feeling them sometimes can be an aspect. While people on the ADHD autism spectrum also can have a lot of pain sensitivities and sensitivity issues, you know, it can spectrum back and forth where it is not just one experience, just like sensory issues. And so, you know, even if you are somebody that is struggling to know exactly what's going on, you know, with your body, you know, it can be a struggle. There are times where I have definitely overdone it with barefooting where I haven't realized it, you know, and especially with having, you know, other pain and other things going on in my body, I'm not noticing something like, oh, you know, the ground that I'm overdoing it, you know, but also too, when you're so much in your existence and so many other ways, having these you know, issues, it can be hard to know what's going on. And, you know, there are other conditions in which people can have issues and, you know, properly receiving and understanding those signals throughout the body. And, you know, this can become, you know, a real issue. So sometimes, you know, for myself, just looking at my feet, as simple as that is, are they too red? Do they even look purple? Like, you know, during times when it's cold, which sometimes I can even forget to do that. It can be a struggle, is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, it's something where you have to try to put things in place to remind yourself, you know, set alarms, reminders, whatever way that will help you. If you already have, you know, ways that, you know, that will help you remind you and be more mindful of checking in. But, you know, sometimes just looking at your feet and just seeing, you know, what's going on there. You know, do they look too torn up? Do they look, you know, sore? Even though you may not have that, you know, sensory experience of touch that in the same way that you may always need it, we have other ways of observing. We have other senses. So, you know, using our eyes to observe, you know, our feet and taking that time, if you need to check in, you know, as you're getting into barefooting where you're pushing new milestones, can be really important. But at the same time, you know, it is kind of also part of the process. You know, you have to push yourself a little bit, and, you know, it's, you know, going to kind of hurt, but it's about knowing when are you pushing yourself in a healthy limitation and when are you causing damage and hurting yourself and putting yourself at risk, which is a part of personal examination and just looking within, listening within, checking, looking at your feet, checking your environment, being more mindful of where you're stepping, what kind of environments in which you're stepping on, you know. And it can be hard. There are times where definitely with like walking on gravel, like, and even on concrete, even getting back into the season where, you know, you'll feel that burn, you'll feel that sting, you know, but not, you know, causing damage, you know, working, you know, because you're working back into it and then you end up kind of pushing it, you know, but making sure that you're not actually causing damage to yourself. And I wish I was better at giving advice on this. Honestly, it is, I feel like I'm doing better than I usually am at explaining this, as I do have a lot of very different sensory experiences in my body. It is hard to kind of explain things or think about how other people experience things within their body, but you know, sensory issues can be very challenging, but I do think barefooting definitely does play a role in helping with them within my life. But there and are people, you know, who, you know, barefooting is just a huge no. And there are people I have had in my life that barefooting is a huge no for them. I've had people in my life who may not barefoot, but they enjoy it. And they enjoy it in specific places, especially when connecting to nature, connecting to the earth, or environments where they feel safe and comfortable. And, you know, I've had other people who barefoot in my life throughout the years. And even within our, you know, different experiences, you know, there is still that similar understanding of having to understand our, you know, our feet, and that there are so many sensory experiences with our feet, and our feet are something that isn't often talked about because it's looked at as ew, gross, or it's something that is assumed to be some kind of sexualization or fetishism, even though it's, you know, not. We're just living our best barefoot lifestyle the best we can. But it is important to understand that, you know, our feet are our foundation, and we all have our own experiences with that. And, you know, even if you're someone who never wants to put shoes on ever, or if you're someone who never really wants to take their shoes off, you know, understanding that we both deserve to live our lives in a way that is comfortable and safe for us, in a way that is healthy for us, in a way that is our choice, in a way that respects our autonomy and our rights, We're not here to force people out of their shoes, just like we don't want to be forced into them. We are here to just advocate for barefooting and to be recognized as the right that it is, to be recognized as the accommodation that it is, to be recognized as, a form of accessibility. Barefooting rights as a, that does tie into accessibility. When people need barefooting for their disability, chronic illness, whatever that may be, and you are trying to discriminate from that barefooting, that it becomes an issue of accessibility. And the ADA, which is the American Disability Act, sorry, there is a, they're doing lawn work outside, so I don't know if it can be picked up. So sorry about the sound quality. If so, I didn't realize you're still doing that. Anyway, where was I going with this? Sorry. But the ADA, the American Disability Act, does recognize, and the U.S. Department of Justice do recognize barefooting as a legitimate accommodation for disabilities. If you go to barefootislegal.org, that is right, barefootislegal.org. For some reason, I thought I said it wrong. And I'm going to bring it up now. And under laws, if you go to downloads, and if you look under ADA card, it has ADA card available. If you are someone who has, a medical condition or health issues or some kind of disability in which, you need to barefoot, this help shows proof that, and this is just general, just showing, the law, showing proof that the ADA does recognize barefooting as an accommodation for disabilities, and that due to this, whatever institution, whatever place, they are legally held to make some kind of reasonable accommodation and accessibility for your barefooting. Now, given different circumstances, given different environments, that can look different. Again, if that, when it comes to different safety in different environments, depending on, the type of activity or whatever, but at the same time, they still have to provide reasonable accommodations. They have to by law. So, and I definitely recommend checking out the state civil rights cards on barefootislegal.org as well under the downloads. If you go to laws in the menu section, go to downloads. The state civil rights cards, it'll be under the ADA card. And so this is just addressing that and showing the law. You can use this as, proof if you end up facing discrimination or, some kind of pushback or backlash, someone trying to get out of store, anything like that, any kind of discrimination, that you have some kind of proof that showing that you have this right to barefoot for religious, cultural reasons, personal beliefs, and that it is also a civil and human right in the United States. So I definitely recommend checking that out. But barefooting is a protected right as well, because of the cultural, religious reasons people barefoot, for the medical reasons people barefoot, whether that be because of your mental health or your physical health. Medical reasons, cultural, religious. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I don't know. I can't think right now. But anyway, it is your protected right, as I'm trying to say. Bear with me with my messy brain, and I'm not going to lie, that lawnmower outside is very overstimulating. But it is 2 o'clock, so I guess I'm going to run a quick ad break real quick. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces in the United States. It is your right to barefoot in public spaces in the United States. So we will be back, folks. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle, and we'll be back with Barefoot Legal Radio after the break.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
the one. Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did, as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello everyone, I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com. M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as general support, health benefits, information, and other aspects of living the barefoot lifestyle. Sorry, to remember what my, if I had a thought I wanted to follow up with for the break or not, or if I was moving on to my next thought. But yep, this is your host, Phoenix. Audrey will not be able to be with us today, so I will be continuing solo hosting the rest of the show. But it's important to remember that there are no laws against barefooting in the United States. It is your legal right to be able to barefoot in public spaces. There is nothing morally or legally wrong with being barefoot. And not just in your home, but in public spaces or outside. And unfortunately, a lot of people seem to think that being barefoot equals being careless, being reckless. And although those may still be attributes that you could place on different barefooters, barefooting is not something that is just inherently reckless or dangerous. And if anything, being barefoot gives you more sense of awareness around your environment. And as barefooters, because we're barefoot and because, you know, we can take care of ourselves, we are more, you know, paying attention of where we're going, where we're stepping. I know for myself with, you know, using a cane, I am definitely always looking at where I'm stepping to make sure I don't, you know, trip or whatever or something, you know, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, paying attention of where you're going and you have to, and it's, you know, even with barefooting, it's a similar thing. And, but a lot of people, you know, do barefoot for different physical disabilities as well as, different neurodivergency, mental disabilities. And, you know, it gives a better sense of awareness. It gives a better sense of safety. And when you have more awareness of your physical environment in general, that is going to make you feel more internally safe. But for people that experience, you know, overstimulation when wearing shoes, this overstimulation, you know, it triggers the pain receptors, especially over prolonged periods of time of this overstimulation. And it is going to wreak havoc. I mean, from my own personal experiences with when I look back before I started barefooting and, you know, just so many different experiences of just being overstimulated and having meltdowns and not understanding how much wearing shoes made a difference. And you know, wearing, whether or not I was wearing them made a difference with that until I started my barefooting journey and started seeing how much easier it was for me to be able to drive and to be able to do certain things with that overstimulation factor. But overstimulation, it is destabilizing, it is deregulating, and, you know, it's going to affect the general function of your nervous system when experiencing prolonged overstimulation, especially when it's unnecessary, you know, and we have to be able to, you know, life goes on, yes, but we have to find ways to be able to accommodate for ourselves so our life can go on and so we can go on, or else we're just going to be, you know, having meltdowns and having crashes, you know, and things like that. And you can't move on, you can't get on with your life, and you can't do anything with that when you're actively falling apart and you keep falling apart actively. You know, you can't really, you know, so it's you have to find ways to be able to accommodate and support yourself. And barefooting can be a huge way of doing that for different people with sensory issues and have issues with sensory overload and getting overstimulated. And so, you know, if shoes cause a problem, you know, here at Barefoot is Legal, we are to, you know, we have you have our support, is what I'm trying to say, you know, in your right to be barefoot for your sensory issues. And, you know, if shoes make you overstimulated and it's causing problems for you, don't wear them, you know. I encourage you to barefoot. Your safety, your comfort, your health, your stability matters. Taking care of yourself matters. And I understand that it can be really hard to localize your needs, to address your needs, to even allow yourself to have needs sometimes, depending on your experiences. But you deserve to have them. You deserve to take care of yourself. And, you know, Barefoot is Legal is here to support that, support whatever your reason is for barefooting. And, you know, when I do speak on, you know, overstimulation and sensory issues, because it's something I personally understand and experience. But, you know, there are so many other ways in which wearing shoes can be problematic for people's chronic disabilities and chronic health conditions. You know, shoes can cause a lot of issues. And there are a lot of ways in which barefooting can, you know, be that solution to those issues with disability and chronic illness. But at the same time, you know, it is a journey. You know, you can't rush into it. You know, it takes time for our feet to adapt. But, yes, our feet are adaptable, and, you know, they are going to adapt more and more to your surroundings and more to your barefooting. But just make sure that you're not overdoing it and hurting yourself. You know, for me, I do equate barefooting, you know, to an act of self-love. While I understand that, and I think a lot of other barefooters definitely understand that and, you know, can definitely equate it to this sense of it being, you know, a sense of self-love. Other people who don't understand it, you know, may not understand that at all. And, you know, often, you know, people look at it as, you know, you endangering yourself. And unfortunately, I have had to listen to a lot of people, some of which I don't even really know, go on about how dangerous it is to me and having their opinions. But I've also had some really great experiences in public where people are more understanding and more people barefoot than you think. And, you know, sometimes the reason why people aren't barefooting is because they're at work, and to keep their job, they have to have shoes on. And, you know, but the thing is, you know, I do look at barefooting, you know, as, you know, this act of self-love. And I think that it can be very radical and sometimes looked at because it ends up being radical at times. But it's sometimes even looked at as this rebellious sense of self-love, and maybe it is. But if all you're rebelling against is people that don't care about your sense of safety, health, and well-being, then are you really rebelling, or are you just standing up for yourself? Are you just advocating for yourself? And then what I mean by, you know, it being this, you know, act of self-love is when it is something that is genuinely good for you, whether that be because of your mental health or a physical disability, you know, with your mobility, chronic pain, whatever the case may be, when you are choosing to do that, you know, and choosing to do something that's helping you, that is an act of self-love. But it is also an act of self-maintenance, I think, as well. But I think sometimes in order for us to break new barriers of self-maintenance, and I'm saying this from experience, we have to enter a new phase or lead with this new found sense of self-love, you know. And each time we break through these new phases of taking care of ourselves, I think sometimes in order for us to really fully embrace self-maintenance, there does have to be a sense of self-love. You know, we are complex organisms. We have to maintain and take care of ourselves. And doing so is not easy, especially when our sense of health and safety and our bodies is not really respected in society as a whole. And we often do not respect each other and each other's limitations and what we are capable of and not capable of. And this isn't even, I mean, and it is directly tied into ableism, but the thing is ableism isn't just a negative thing that works against people with disabilities. Ableism is something that is utilized all the time in society against everyone. And, you know, and I'm not saying that every single circumstance all the time it is being used, but I'm saying is, unfortunately, at any given moment in time, somewhere, there is ableism. And we can't narrow it down to just one society, one thing. There's no really narrowing it down. Unfortunately, it is a general thing within our society. But capitalism and, these false ideas of status are a huge component of what has fueled and driven this to be such a huge factor that it is. And this is something that I have spent years reflecting on in my own experiences, even before I really could become comfortable enough to even say, oh, I'm disabled, because it is true. Before I could even be comfortable with that, even when my health and disabilities were way more unregulated and I had way less of an idea how to take care of them, and thus symptoms were on average much worse in different physical conditions, I still wasn't comfortable with that label, because I had so much internalized ableism, and it is still an ongoing struggle, if I'm being entirely honest, I still struggle with. But it's something that I've made a huge amount of progress in, for sure. And that's not to, come on and brag, but to remind myself, but also the thing is even if you make, put in all this work and you make a huge difference in your own personal healing and with ableism, it is often still an ongoing struggle. And unfortunately, until our society changes, it will be a constant ongoing struggle. And I don't mean this as in forever you'll be in its grips, but unfortunately, there are people that are always going to want to drag you down into that. And unfortunately, the ableism may not stop. But it's about strengthening yourself up with that self-love and choosing self-maintenance and self-care and and choosing that above what other people have to say and their negative experiences, and they try to pull you back down into those cycles, whether it's conscious or not, of course. Not everyone who does this is conscious. Most ableism is not conscious behavior, unfortunately. So it's not something that people are even consciously aware of, or that we can, really look at. And even in myself, it's not always conscious behavior. And it's something that we can direct on ourselves. It's something that we have to learn and overcome. And it is an ongoing process. And it's important to understand that this is something that is all around us, in the ways that we do not respect when people need rest, when people need breaks. And, all around us, those who are able-bodied enough to work, are especially labor-intensive jobs. Those that are working those labor-intensive jobs often end up having health issues, and having injuries and things like that from just over time overworking their bodies with labor-intensive jobs, when looking at just so many different factors of capitalism. And it is important to understand that we need to respect each other's bodies and each other's limitations and each other's needs, and being understanding towards other people, in our life and all levels, that, when it's time for rest, it's time for rest. My partner, he doesn't have, disabilities that I have, or he isn't disabled, but, he is still, somebody that, is unfortunately has to work a lot, and having to understand that although he may not have the same limitations as me, I still having to understand his physical limitations as somebody who, is overworked and, working labor intensive job. And, sometimes that can be a hard thing to balance within our relationships, from someone who is disabled, understanding that your partner, who isn't, still has their own physical limitations and they get tired, you know, and, but then, you know, that partner also, who is more physically able-bodied or, you know, able-bodied, having to understand and, you know, disabilities and the ebb and flow in which they come into. And even within all kinds of interpersonal relationships, and it can definitely be a struggle. But there is a huge underlying issue of just not respecting each other's needs and bodies and our limitations of those human bodies, but also not respecting our mind and our mental health and the limitations of our mental health and the ways that, you know, different people process and understand the world through mental health, their mental health and their neurodivergency and their perspective and their experiences. And I do think that this is directly tied into barefooting, because if people respected, you know, each other's physical limitations and, you know, boundaries with those limitations of physical health more, as well as looking at the mental health and understanding those different limitations and boundaries of one's mental health and neurodivergency, we would have, one, just a better understanding and peacefulness around each other, but we would also have a general more societal understanding and respect for barefooting. You wouldn't have people going on about how it's crazy to be barefoot when it is something that genuinely does help with one's physical health and mental health. And there is evidence of such of that. And even the National Library of Medicine has information and support of grounding and earthing and barefooting. So I think that there's just so much that we are dealing with on more of the interpersonal social levels of society that are impacting really everything. The way that we perceive each other, the way that we interact with each other, the way that we treat each other, the way that, oh gosh, I wish I had the words that I'm looking for, but it is embedded within every structure and institution, unfortunately, on some level. Even if it's not ableism against people who are disabled, there is still a sense of, with able-bodied people still being like, well, you're able-bodied and you shouldn't need rest. Go, 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 push, 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 push. And I think it's interesting that, you know, in our medical care system, you know, doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals are often expected to work hours and schedules in general that are not healthy at all and actually can cause damage to the human body prolonged. You know, the same people that are supposed to be giving advice against these things are the same people that are forced to live it. And as someone who has had, you know, people in my life who have worked in healthcare, this is not a choice. Either it is one, a financial reason, or they just, even if they don't need it financially, they don't get a choice on what their schedule is. If they're understaffed, they are expected to be here. Unfortunately, I had a friend who was working in a hospital where they had a 30 patient ratio to each nurse, and they only had two nurses in the building, and it was the original ratio, and then they ended up with only two, and then it doubled and tripled and quadrupled, and that was a horrific story I had to hear about. I'm probably not even explaining that well, but that's also like not even the worst thing that happens. And one of my, you know, closest friends has worked in healthcare for years. I'm trying to think how many, at least 4 years. And, at least four, oh gosh, time is not real. But, unfortunately there is, and again, there are some people who have worked in healthcare longer. It's crazy that, you know, just the things that during COVID and whether it be, you know, the lockdown and even coming after lockdown and even ongoing, how much understaffing and how much just unsafe things have been happening in hospitals and in nursing homes. And this is not on the fault of the nurses and the doctors who are doing everything they can, but on the fault of the institution. And but also there's just a much deeper issue where a lot of you know, there is a lot of there's a whole other, you know, side to things where a lot of doctors, you know, during COVID or even before and at the start of and throughout, you know, in 2020 and that. And of course, you know, COVID is still an ongoing issue, but I mean the emergence of it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. You know, like the height of lockdown and then coming out of lockdown, that were just burnt out and were, you know, there, which is, and, you know, there are different types of burnout. You know, you can burn out where, you know, you're just done, you're at your limit, you know, for a day, a week, maybe a couple weeks. And, but then there is, you know, burnout when you are experiencing, like, you know, more of a severe, experience with, you know, crashing of your nervous system with your health and your mental health. And there are different spectrums to that severity, of course, as well. But, you know, even if you aren't somebody who is more at risk and prone to burnout because of different conditions, you know, we are all humans and people can work their nervous systems to nothing. Unfortunately, that's how I lost my grandmother, you know, who was a nurse who worked herself to death in healthcare. And so this is an issue that it does bother me a lot. And, you know, this is an issue, seeing how it's affected one of, you know, my best friends and just, you know, it is dangerous the way that, you know, the value of health in each other's bodies is not taken seriously. That, you know, and it is dangerous to think about how, you know, healthcare workers, people who are responsible for people's lives and safety and health and treating and diagnosing patients are often being overworked. And, you know, especially more so with the doctor aspect, but, you know, with the diagnosing, but, or if you're a nurse practitioner, that you know, there's that as well. Sorry, with you know, to diagnose people. But anyway, but the thing is like with all, whatever, you know, all these different roles in healthcare that these people are supposed to play, which are huge, crucial roles to one's safety and well-being and literally their life, are being overworked. And I think we need to think about what this, you know, means and the dangers that are actively, as you know, there is, you know, shortages and the dangers that will to come. And, you know, we need to respect each other's, bodies and limitations and health. And so, you know, and there have been nurses and doctors strikes, you know, throughout last year. And so, you know, I encourage people to support those nurses and doctor strikes, because these people are not just striking carelessly. You know, from my understanding of looking into this stuff, you know, last year when it was happening, the people that were striking, they were already on, a lot of them were already on their days off, or they called off sick. They didn't just not show up and try to completely just screw over the hospital. They took whatever channels they could, but often, you know, these were people that they weren't doing it during their shifts. And if they were, they wasn't like they were completely abandoning hospitals to say, screw you. These were organized movements of people organizing together to be able to still do their jobs while still supporting their rights to life, financial stability, to their own health stability. And, you know, and I think it's really important that, and also with all jobs, you know, we have this sense of people, and this is what is accepted and this is what is expected, is for people to work themselves to nothing. And, you know, even for me in high school and like the earliest bit of adulthood, even with all my diagnoses that I did have and health issues that I had and diagnoses I was getting and in the process of getting and did get, you know, I still overworked myself to the burnout that I'm in. And unfortunately, I wish I had slowed down at times. I wish I had taken those pauses. I wish I had taken those moments of rest, because I would have been able to keep going longer. I would have been able to not crash the way that I did. And I know so many other people, hearing them talk about their experiences, just whether it be online or people that I'm, you know, my family that have experienced burnout at different times, and like Audrey, who's experienced burnout, you know, and it's, it is, It is exhausting, and you often, you know, look back and you wish that you had taken care of yourself better. You wish you had paused just a little bit, just enough to do that self-maintenance, to do that self-care, to have that self-love, to have a sense of value in yourself, enough to take care of yourself and to not push yourself to nothing. And it is still a process of having to, you know, it's still been a process of having to redefine my value outside of ableist bullcrap ideas and standards. And I encourage people to really love and take care of themselves. Loving and take caring of yourself, taking rest, taking the time for recovery, that is not rolling over and giving up. That is fighting for yourself. And the only way to stay truly in the fight is to fight for yourself. And that is something that I find myself, especially now, having to realize and reflecting on more than ever, that, you know, it is choosing yourself and choosing to take care of yourself and your disabilities and your illnesses and whatever your limitations are. That is, yeah, it might be radical self-love, but it is necessary to, one, your survival, not just your survival though, because you can hate yourself and keep surviving, right? And work yourself down to nothing. But it is necessary for you to thrive, for you to be healthy, for you to be the person you want to be able to treat people that you want to treat people, rather than putting yourself in positions where you are so unhealthy that you spiral out of control. And it's not like this is some thing that is easy to work through or to accomplish, because it's not. It's a journey, just like barefooting. But barefooting is so tied into this. And this is so tied into barefooting, because if we can value self-love, self-maintenance, taking care of ourselves past the perceptions, expectations, ideas of others, the judgments of others, you know, then we can barefoot freely, you know, and with that barefooting freely, we're taking care of ourselves, and with taking care of ourselves, we can barefoot more freely. And I hope that it made sense with what I'm saying, is, you know, they are so tied into each other. But, you know, taking care of yourself and knowing when to rest, knowing when to pause, and living in tune with your body is so crucial and so central to being healthy, to recovering, to healing, and to stabilizing yourself and being able to build beyond just surviving. And I personally don't think, if you really want to live life and if you really love yourself and you really want to fight, survival isn't enough, you know? And you have to choose yourself. And it is hard. Dude, I'm still recovering more from people pleasing than I even thought I was. And it's an ongoing struggle. And I don't know. I think that barefooting is, you know, this radical act of self-love. But I think, unfortunately, in our world, all self-love is radical. And I think we're caught up in a cycle of where most of us can't even love and take care of ourselves, but then we're needy and we need other people. And unfortunately, it's more okay in some ways to need other people than it is to take care of yourself. And, you know, we can get into this cycle. And even reflecting back on, you know, who I was, and there was someone in my life who was very important to me, who unfortunately I had, who is in my life now, and had brought up self-soothing and how crucial it was for me to be able to self-soothe. And that person, unfortunately, they meant it out of love, and they also meant it out of resentment. And I remember at the time just being frustrated, because it's like, I need support. And I'm trying to take care of myself, and I don't know how. But also, there was truth to that. I didn't know how to take care of myself. And not long after that, I just fell face first, honestly. And I was already in burnout, but I fell face first into my journey of understanding myself on a much, much deeper level and learning how to self-soothe and understanding ADHD and autism is a huge part of that, being able to self-soothe and self-regulate, and understanding my experiences with that. It was a huge part of self-soothing and self-regulating, and barefooting was so tied into that, as well as just so many other different things. But when, and looking back, self-soothing and self-regulating is so necessary, but it is a journey. And I think what's hard is even when we're at our, we could even be at our lowest, and those feelings of ableism and not being allowed to take care of ourselves or choose us or choose what's right for us or take care of ourselves, you know, that it can take over, that ableism, people-pleasing, whatever, and it can nag at you. Where even when, though, you need help, and even when you're desperate and for help from other people, and you may even show that to the people that you care about in your lowest moments. In those lowest moments, you still don't feel like you have that permission to take care of yourself and do what you need to do for you and to take that rest and to take that time to recover. And it can be incredibly exhausting. But it's important to remember that you have that right to take care of yourself. And it can be kind of this push and pull where we're all kind of held in this kind of, you know, we can't take care of ourselves, but we need to be strong and be there for the people we love and care about. And of course, there are people out there who just like to take and manipulate, of course, but we're not really going to talk about them right now. I don't know what, you know, that's for the sake of this conversation. but, you know, really understanding, I don't know, the different ways in which we're just not allowed to take care of ourselves, but we have all these social expectations and obligations to be more to each other and to take care of each other. And for those that have more, and this is just a general thing, you know, but, you know, as someone who went through parentification, which, you know, is trauma of having to take on the responsibilities of adults and parent roles as a child for either other children or even adults. And, you know, I unfortunately had to do both. And the people pleasing, and that's so tied into that. And that role of caregiving, it can be really hard to choose yourself. So even when you are choosing yourself, you're not actually choosing yourself because you don't feel like you deserve to take care of yourself. You don't feel like you have that right, or you just don't know how. And this can even be a subconscious thing that you're not even aware of. And it can take a long time to become aware of. But I do think it is important to just really reflect on the ways that we need to take care of ourselves. And we need to take that time to take care of ourselves, and giving other people in our lives that permission to take care of themselves. And when we are able to take care of ourselves more, it does make it easier to give people that permission, and also for people to feel they have that permission. And I, you know, I'm saying this, like, reflecting back on things that it's honestly taken me years to process. And you don't realize how much you're harming yourself, and also how you're harming other people when you're caught up in this cycle of not being able to show your needs and people pleasing until you crash, you're at your lowest and you're in a place of desperation. And instead, learning to live in a place of equilibrium and ebb and flow and understanding with ourselves and with each other is really important. And I think it really does take a value of yourself and a sense of self-love to barefoot, actually. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of people, and maybe there are people, you know, I mean, unfortunately, there probably are people out there that do use it as a form of self-harm. And so the people that do, I hope that you get the help and healing that you need, and understand that you don't deserve to harm yourself. And that you can have a healthy relationship with barefooting. But unfortunately, anything that can be used as a form of self-harm, there is someone out there probably using it now. And that is another aspect of caring about each other. But at the same time, unfortunately, a lot of the general public seems to think that it's reckless and endangering ourselves, and it's just this act of self-harm, even if they don't look at it as self-harm in an empathetic, sympathetic, emotional, emotionally intelligent, you know, kind of like looking at it in the mental health standpoint, like, oh, this is self-harm. You know, people, even if they don't look at it from that kind of standpoint, people still often look at barefooting as just a sense of self-endangerment and self-harm. And they often mean it, and often these people, unfortunately, they don't mean it with any sense of emotional intelligence or sympathy or empathy or whatever. They just completely mean it with this sense of judgment and apathy. And but again, a lot of this comes from fear. People, you know, think that, you know, barefooting is inherently dangerous, and it's not. It really isn't. Now, different environments can be dangerous, but unless you are, you know, using it to actively harm yourself with your barefooting, you know, barefooting is, our barefooting journey, it is so much a safer thing, and barefooters are being so much more safer than people think. You know, it is a sense of being aware of our environment, and different aspects of health in the body, but also we're not just being careless or reckless, and our feet are adaptable. I mean, unfortunately, they maladaptively adapt to shoes all the time, and that's where, you know, shoes can become more cramped and the toes can become more cramped, and this can actually affect people's feet. This can lead to people having to get bunion surgeries and things like that. But the thing is, you know, our feet are adaptable, and they do adapt to barefooting. They do adapt to your sound, and they become tougher over time. And it's just about listening to your body. As long as you don't keep pushing it and pushing it way too far when your body is screaming at you, no, you know, this is not a new, you know, this big dangerous thing that we are doing. It is actually an act of self-love and understanding our body and working with our body and understanding our physical health and our mental health and our emotional health and understanding the way that, you know, and like emotions are stored in the body and being able to feel and understand those experiences. I pay attention to them for myself and working through trauma and understanding my fibro. It's been a very weird journey over the past couple of years, and you know, emotions really do get stored in the body. If you're somebody that shuts down a lot, I mean, there's so much unprocessed stuff that can be stored in there. And the way that shutdowns physically affect your body, you know, that is tied into that, those emotional responses and those emotions affecting your body. And our emotions, you know, are tied into, you know, our chemistry and our biology. And, you know, these things are very complex. And, you know, barefooting has been a huge aspect of healing and working through trauma, taking the time to, like, massage my feet and or focus on that root chakra has been a huge aspect of my healing and my mental, emotional health, of taking the time to mentally and maybe even verbally or, you know, writing out and typing out whatever, you know, processing the different traumas and feelings while also, you know, massaging, working through the muscles is huge and crucial. And it sounds crazy, but those moments when I've had some, you know, big breakthroughs of working with the muscles, whether that's through massage or, you know, even with like crystals and things like that, and with nature walks and, you know, barefooting while communing with the earth and also processing the emotions and things like that, you know, I've found a lot of much greater benefit from it both at the same time, physically, emotionally, and mentally. And, you know, there's just so much healing and freeing in that. And I would say each experience, you know, each time is kind of its own magical experience. But, of course, you're cured. It is a process of working and breaking down these structures. And that's not to discredit anyone's spirituality people that, you know, practice witchcraft or magic or anything like that. But I will say from experience is working, you know, with the elements and working with, you know, paganism and spiritual and different aspects of spirituality, it is still a journey within that. It's a process of aligning, you know, with your energy. And sometimes you have to align your energy with your pain in order to open it up and feel it, but learning how to do that in a healthy way, not in a way that is harmful or destructive onto others, but in a way in which you can feel it and experience it and release it and let it go. And it is a struggle. And, but even with that, even with all the beauty and, you know, magic or whatever, or, in alignment with, the cosmic forces. To me, I look at it all, although I'm very much believe in beyond the physical natural world, I personally look at it as a sense of science and beyond our current understanding. And having to understand that with, energy and things like that, it is a process of aligning our energy, letting go of things, working through these things, understanding, but it's also a psychological process. And I think it's very interesting because I've heard so many people say that, like, witchcraft is just spicy psychology. And there is a lot of truth into that. A lot of paganism, witchcraft is just it is a sense of therapy, a sense of therapeutic work, working through your psychological blockages, working through them, and also understanding how your psychological blockages are blocking you from making things into a reality within your life. And there's so many different aspects of barefooting within these spiritual, religious, whatever you identify with, barefooting does play a huge crucial role. There's a reason why barefooting plays a huge crucial role in so many different cultures, modernly and anciently. And I can definitely say from my own experiences and understanding that through my own journey and my own path, it is a process of working through it. And I think the best way to really work through things is working through them in that united front of that physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. It's very vital and it's very crucial. And integration is not easy and it's very hard. And, we can go through ebbs and phases of understanding ourselves and our existence in different ways. But for me personally, even on when it comes to spiritual practices, the feet and the body plays a huge role. And it's important, I think, to understand the mechanics of our body. I think that there's a sense of sacredness in that, and there's a sense of sacredness in working with your body. I think barefooting is truly sacred. Barefooting and touching the land and touching the earth, it is sacred. And it really is. And just aligning your feet with, in your feet, it's just such a crucial energy point, and they're also a crucial point in your body with structure and stability of your general, skeletal system, your muscles, your joints, your body just in general, as your feet are literally our foundation. There's so much there. Ugh. Like so many thoughts that are like fighting for dominance to be able to talk and okay. I'm going to take a quick ad break since I didn't take one at 2:30. And it looks like, even though we are close to the end of the show, but I need to check something with the episode actually too, with the time on it. So we might be ending at 3:00 or we might potentially be ending a little bit later. If there isn't another show that goes in, because it looks like the show is set up to end, I guess, at 3:30, maybe it's looking. So give me a second to sort that out real quick.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
I didn't know that there was beauty. beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
To have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do... Why wouldn't you do...
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
To have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do... Why wouldn't you do...
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67%. With grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, folks. We are back with Barefoot is Legal. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. This is back with your host, Phoenix. So it looks like this week we don't have a show on here on Freedomizer Radio after Barefoot is Legal today, and it looks like the episode, I guess, got scheduled to 3:30 instead of 3. So I guess I'll just kind of keep talking a little bit longer until I 3:30 or I run out of things to talk about. So I guess that's some added listening time for anybody that, you know, may enjoy that and was unexpectedly, you're welcome. you know, I hope that this is a safe place for, you know, many people to be able to understand their barefooting and be barefoot and understand that there is no shame in taking care of your body. There's no shame in choosing what's best for you. There's no shame in living your best barefoot lifestyle. There is no shame in having disabilities. There's no shame in having chronic illnesses. There's no shame in being neurodivergent. There's no shame in being mentally ill. There's no shame in any of that. We're humans. It's a part of the human experience. And barefooting is something that can help with those. You know, there's no shame in them, but unfortunately, excuse me, just burped. but unfortunately from experience, you know, with having chronic illnesses, mobility issues and disabilities and mental health issues and, you know, struggling with mental illness and trauma, all these things, I understand that this, and even if I don't understand your experience, I can understand that from my own experiences, it is a struggle. It comes with suffering. It comes with pain. It comes with struggle. It comes with loneliness and not feeling like you belong. It sucks. You know, there's no shame in the way that you exist. You know, you deserve your right to life. But unfortunately, with these things does come hardship. But you still deserve your right to life and your right to quality of life. And so those coping mechanisms and tools that add to your quality of life, that add to your stability, your well-being, and help you to take care of yourself and maintain yourself, they matter. They're crucial. They're important. You know, barefooting is crucial for mental health, emotional health, physical health, and spiritual health. And these are key reasons in which why people barefoot. And this is what makes barefooting a protected right, is because it is about people's health and well-being. You know, that emotional and mental aspects tied into mental health, you know, the physical aspects tied into, you know, physical, you know, health and, you know, those aspects of medical care right there. As well as, you know, cultural and heritage. You know, there are so many different aspects, you know, to that emotionally, mentally, physically, in which, you know, barefooting plays its crucial role. You know, there are so many symbolisms in the physical sacredness and acts of barefooting. It's, you know, there is meaning behind it. And you know, there's, you know, spiritual aspects, you know, there's so much meaning and purpose behind it. You know, although people's different reasons and meanings and purposes can vary and change greatly, there's still a value, you know, that sense of taking care of yourself and those, and also taking care of those aspects of your identity that are crucial to you, allowing yourself to express them and experience them and rejoice in them. You know, you deserve, you know, we as people, you know, we deserve joy. We deserve quality of life. We deserve to take care of ourselves. And, you know, if barefooting is a key way in which you take care of yourself and adds to your quality of life, then you deserve that. Regardless of whether or not you have a chronic illness or disability, if barefooting still adds to your quality of life, you still deserve that. But unfortunately, you know, having physical health issues, chronic illnesses, disabilities, mental illness, mental health issues, all of that, you know, it can really cloud your sense of self-worth because of the opinions and the treatment, abuse, trauma, things like that. But even just, you know, just ableism, you know, unnecessary, harmful criticisms that are rooted in harmfulness, you know, things like that, you know, it's it can be overwhelming and it can be suffocating, and it can make you feel like you don't deserve to take care of yourself, that you don't deserve to, you know, self-soothe, self-regulate, self-maintain, practice self-care, practice self-love, but you still do. And I think especially, if anything, if you are suffering, then you deserve to take care of yourself more than ever. If you are in pain, if you are suffering, you deserve to take care of yourself more than ever. But in general, we all deserve to take care of ourselves. And unfortunately, you know, there is a lot of ableism within that, you know, like I've been talking about. And I do think it's important to acknowledge that. And also, you know, acknowledging that this is something that doesn't just affect people with disabilities, but this is something that affects all people when we don't respect each other's health and limitations. And the thing is being disabled is like the one community that you could not be a part of, that you could randomly out of nowhere become a part of. And you know, that's something I've heard disability advocates, you know, say for years, and there's a lot of truth in that, unfortunately. You know, it can take an injury, it can take a crash, it can take so little, it can be so much. And so I do think everyone should care about disability accommodations and advocacy, because if not out of sympathy or empathy for other people, then out of sheer selfishness, you could end up disabled easily, unfortunately, from being overworked, from an injury, from a condition you may not even know you have, unfortunately. So if you are someone out there that doesn't think that disability rights affects you, it easily could. Also, everyone gets old, or you don't, because you died. I hate to say that, the reality. And getting old, you know, and when we don't take care of our bodies and don't respect our bodies, that comes with a lot of complications and a lot of risks over time. And so everybody should care about disability rights and disability advocacy. Because even if it doesn't affect you in your youth, what happens when you get older? Do you want people to treat you the way that they treated other people with disabilities? Do you want them to tell you that you're making it up, or that you're being dramatic or something, or just not providing you with the proper accommodations? And I don't know. A lot on my mind, I guess. And it's been on my mind for a while in regards to just processing ableism and understanding it for myself and all the different layers of it, but it's still so hard to explain and examine even still. But it can happen to anybody, unfortunately, compared to anything else. And that's not to scare people, because if anything, that's not my intention, isn't to scare anyone, but to remind people of the reality of our humanness. And not taking care of yourself, you eventually will reap the repercussions of it. It's that simple. And, I'm trying to remember which show it was, but I remember just thinking of, like, because there's this one show, I think it might have been Once Upon a Time or something I watched when I was younger. I think it might have been where it was like, yeah, where they talk about, like, magic comes with a price. And I've been thinking about that lately a lot, where it's just like, yeah, but everything does. Everything does. And I think when you have disabilities and chronic illnesses, and even for me, autistic things is such as socializing are incredibly taxing and exhausting more than they are for other people. And even just taking the time to understand what people mean and what they're saying and kind of socially translating everything, it is sometimes impossible. And even when I am able to do it, it takes so much work that other people aren't even aware of or having to do, because it's just everything is so innate. You know, everything is exhausted. There's a sense of exhaustion, you know, over time because you're, you know, work, you know, is really defined as anything that exerts energy. I think that's the definition in physics. Let me double check that and look that up, guys. But yeah, I guess we're just gonna, since the show is scheduled, I guess, till 3:30, we are gonna just go a little bit longer until I'm done rambling, I guess. But yeah, in physics, work is the energy transferred to or from an object via the application of force along with a displacement. Okay, let's look for the simple. Okay, and it's simple form. Hold on. Honestly, I'm just confusing myself more, and I'm realizing that I do not have the mental bandwidth right now to bring up this analogy. I hate when I bring up analogies of things that I find interesting because that's what the ADHD and autism does. Bring up things that I've found interesting in the past, realizing that I do not have that tab opening all the way in my brain, let alone I'm trying to say this quickly. So that actually probably may not have been the best explanation, but understanding that, you know, these things, you're exerting energy, okay? What I'm trying to say is anything that is exerting energy, you know, you are going to, it's going to take energy. Anything that you have to exert your energy for is going to take your energy. And that's something I've just been thinking about, is understanding that, and not in a bitter way, but understanding that everything comes with a price. Everything that we do, it comes with energy that we have to give, and energy that is going to then be, you know, taken from us that we no longer have because we used it for this thing. We exerted it, you know, but I think unfortunately, unless you have chronic illnesses or disabilities, and, you know, you're forced to look at that within your own experiences, it's hard to realize the ways that, you know, everything does come with a sense of, with our energy, you know, everything that we're doing that is physically exerting. I mean, even taking care of ourselves, it still exerts physical energy. And so sometimes we have to be mindful of that, you know, and understanding that we can't push ourselves to a breaking point because we still need that energy to then take care of ourselves. Because the energy to take care of ourselves, we will then, you know, we will be, you know, rewarded or whatever, or, you know, by the simple, you know, result and consequence that doing the things that take care of us helps us be more regulated, more stable, and just healthier. You know, there's also, I think my brain is like so used to just crashing at this point after the show that I'm like, I want to keep going since I guess it's already set up for 2:30. So bear with me, guys. If it gets too bad, I'm just going to end it, I guess. But just really understanding that, knowing how to apply your energy, everything is going to take energy and it's going to take something from you. And so, you know, sometimes you have to understand that, you know, taking that break and using what energy you have left to say, go take, you know, a barefoot nature walk, or, you know, be barefoot and journal and ground, you know, connecting to the earth, or, you know, doing some other form to take care of yourself. Or even for me, like when I have to use a massager, you know, use that massager on my feet or on my muscles in general, you know, that's still physical energy I have to exert. And I'm like, dang, this thing is heavy, you know, especially longer, you know, I'm doing it. But at the same time, it's, as much as it's exhausting, there's, you know, physical exertion and it work that I'm doing, it's still something that I'm doing to take care of myself, to maintain myself, that I will have a naturally good consequence from. It may not always feel amazing or may always feel healthy, but it's still healthier than what you would have been and if you just kept driving yourself into the dirt. And so sometimes we have to remember that, just how to use our energy. And, you know, yes, you know, we want to be as, you know, productive as possible, but understanding that fixating too much on productivity actually can set us backward in productivity. You know, pushing, or there's so much out there to say that with psychology just showing all the different ways that just overworking yourself, it doesn't help. Yes, you want to work hard, and working hard matters, and working hard helps. But if you work yourself past the point of being able to work hard, and you're just crashing, and you're just done, and you're just running on fumes, you're not helping yourself. You're not as alert or as focused with those tasks. You're not helping yourself. So it's important to take those times to disconnect and ground yourself and take care of yourself. But also at the same time, you know, these things don't have to be super physically exerting either. You know, it may take some energy to be able to, sit in the grass and, kind of get your feet in the grass or in the dirt or whatever, and be able to ground yourself. You know, it may take some energy from you, and it may be physically exerting in some ways, or it may be, you know, very mentally exerting. I understand from being autistic and being perceived and all that fiasco, especially when you need the ground, you know, it can be taxing mentally and physically, but to exist in the world. But it's something that's really simple and isn't super exhausting, and is something that you'll get the benefits from. But I don't know, that's something I've just been thinking a lot lately, is understanding that, you know, everything we do, it does come with the price of on our bodies. And understanding, is that something that is worth paying? And it's something, and it can also have a price on our minds, and understanding, is that something worth paying? And so knowing when it's time to rest, you know, and knowing when it's time to recover, but also, yes, self-maintenance and self-care can be exhausting and takes work. And, but I think that's energy better given than energy to things that are just driving you into the dirt that are, you know, when it's unnecessary. Of course, you want to work your hardest, push your hardest. You got to do what you got to do to keep up with things. But it's important to know when your limitations are, or else your body is going to decide for you when those limitations are, whether you like it or not. And that's something I have learned. That's something other people around me have learned. And I'm still learning it. Other people around me are still learning it. You know, it's a journey. And remember that it is important to take care of yourself, and but taking that, you know, those simple moments to barefoot and ground, you know, it's not as exhausting as it can be. You know, obviously, you know, if you have physical disabilities, you know, and as well as the mental disabilities, you know, being barefoot in public and going out and being barefoot, even going out in nature being barefoot, you know, those can be very exhausting and taxing mentally and physically. But you can ground as simple as just taking your shoes off in your own home, and grounding can be really simple. You don't have to walk around. Just find yourself a place where you can sit, and even the ground, you don't necessarily have to be barefoot. Even just sitting on the ground, and you know, your body touching the ground in general, be able to, it can ground itself through that as well. If you are somebody that has sensory issues around not being able to wear shoes, or there's certain times in which you can't wear shoes for sensory reasons. And I'm sorry, my rambles have kind of been all over the place, and I hope that there's been some value and some help that y'all can take from it. But I do encourage everyone to take care of their bodies. And I think that barefooting is just a huge gateway to learning to listen more to that mind-body connection, that mind-body emotion-spirit connection even, and just understanding ourselves and our needs on a deeper level. But it's also a part of allowing ourselves to have needs, allowing ourselves to take care of ourselves, allowing ourselves to need things, to take care of ourselves that may be controversial, allowing ourselves to step into this journey of being ourselves and loving ourselves regardless of what other people think. And I mean, and it can be frustrating, it can be hard sometimes, that barefooting, that pushback, and that discrimination and things like that. But I think there's also a lot of beauty that comes in it with being able to face that head on and still love yourself and still choose this for yourself and still choose what's right for yourself. So I encourage people to stand up for themselves and keep pushing, and to understand that you matter, your needs matter, your rights matter, and to just keep taking care of yourself. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. There never have been. It is your legal right to barefoot in public spaces in the United States. It is your legal right to drive barefoot. There are no laws against driving barefoot either. If anything, it is statistically safer to drive barefoot than it is without shoes, because unfortunately, many different types of shoes have been associated with the literal direct cause of many different types of accidents, with getting caught on the pedals and things like that, whether that be flip-flops, shoelaces, sandals, things like that. And there have even been incidents of high heels getting stuck. And I mean, it can definitely be, a lot safer if you really think about it, to barefoot. And I'm going to be honest, even from my own experiences with being overstimulated, even the days when I have to wear my shoes, like, outside, I am going to still take them off when I get in my car and when I'm going to drive, because if I don't, it's going to drive me crazy. And so I can definitely say, too, like, driving barefoot, definitely as someone with sensory issues, stimulation issues, spatial awareness issues, it is so much safer. You are so much so much more aware, so much more in touch with your body. But it's also your mental surroundings, and a lot of people who barefoot are people with ADHD and autism. April is Autism Awareness Month. And I do recommend checking out, Barefoot Autism Challenge on Instagram, and, seeing how you can get involved, with that. Tyler Leach, he's autistic and he's the one who founded Barefoot Autism Challenge. He's located in Iowa, and they've done some great things with getting community involvement. He's been on the news a couple times and spreading advocacy for both barefooting and autism, and educating on the importance of both. So every April he does a Barefoot Autism Challenge. This year is doing some kind of form of art barefoot, so that could be painting, but also that could be performance art, and other forms of art and different other medias of art. And you don't have to, you don't have to be a barefooter to do this, and you don't have to be autistic to do this. Just to show your support for barefooting awareness, autism awareness, and understanding the crucial sense of barefooting awareness in terms of the autism awareness, and that support for barefooting to be recognized as a legitimate accommodation for autism. So I definitely recommend checking out Barefoot Autism Challenge on Instagram and supporting them, and getting involved however you feel comfortable. And if you do make your own art with your feet, and or make some kind of barefoot art, using the hashtag Barefoot Autism Challenge, and helping spread that awareness on that barefooting is both safe and legal, but also the crucial accommodation that barefooting can be for autism, also spreading autism awareness. And it has a lot to just being able to help with just the mental functioning, stability of nervous system, and so much more, being barefoot with autism. There's just so many different aspects of sensory issues, overstimulation, the pain receptors and dysregulation that can come from being overstimulated, and even sensory overload. And it just helps you to be able to think and process things more clearly, being barefoot with autism. And if you are somebody that needs barefooting, but at the same time, barefooting is not a one-size-fits-all with autism. And autism is a spectrum, a very, very diverse spectrum. It is no shape or form a one-size-fits-all, and to try to compare people in the way that they express their autism can be very dangerous in trying to illegitimize other people's autism, as it is a very diverse spectrum. And understanding that this comes with very diverse spectrum and just so many different needs, so many different aspects of social interactions, so many different aspects within our experiences and cognitive development and learning. And so it is, honestly, it's probably one of the most diverse spectrums. And so taking the time to understand that everyone's different and understanding those differences and validating those differences as all being a part of the autistic experience is really important. And I think there's a lot of beauty in the diversity of autism. So I definitely recommend checking out Barefoot Autism Challenge and on Instagram and seeing how you can, support and what kind of art you can come up with, whether it's painting with your feet, trying to draw with your feet. It could be you trying to make something more artistic, abstract art, or just, as simple as making footprints and be able to, post it online, share that and, share with the hashtag Barefoot Autism Challenge. I hope to get Tyler on before the end of this month to talk about, his organization and, autism and barefooting, to be able to talk more on that. We've had him on a couple times over the years. And, it's definitely an organization that I support, definitely a person that I support. So I definitely recommend checking out. But it is important to understand that barefooting is a legitimate accommodation for many different disabilities and chronic illnesses, whether that be mental or physical. And it's important for that accessibility to be respected. Understanding that there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States, and there never have been. It is your legal right to barefoot in public spaces, and that includes restaurants, movie theaters, gas stations, grocery stores, really, you name it. It's your right. And I definitely recommend checking out barefootislegal.org. If you under laws, if you go to downloads, you can find letters from health departments showing that there are no laws or health codes against being barefoot as a patron or a customer in the restaurant. Also, the ADA cards, ADA standing for the American Disability Act. And these are just, show that legally the ADA and U.S. Department of Justice protects from discrimination against these accommodations for being barefoot due to medical and health reasons. It is your right to have that accommodation to barefoot for your medical and health reasons, and it is your right to have that accommodation is what I'm trying to say. Sorry, I hope my brain hasn't been too hard to understand today. I hope you've all enjoyed the rambling. But you can print off this card or have a digital copy for yourself. There are also state civil rights cards. And so these also address that, you have your right to barefoot and cannot be discriminated against in public spaces. And under that, there is barefoot driving laws, which just giving reference that there are no laws against driving barefoot. And these are just states in which it has has been mention of, but it just shows that there aren't any laws against driving barefoot. But other than that, all their states make no other mention of being barefoot while driving. But there are no laws or health codes against being barefoot in public spaces, being a barefoot customer or patron in places open to the public, or driving barefoot. It is your it's your American right to be able to barefoot freely in public spaces. And do not let people bully you out of that right. Do not let people bully you out of taking care of yourself and your body. And I understand from personal experience that it is really hard to advocate and accommodate for yourself and to take care of yourself and to have those sense of boundaries. But understanding that you do not owe anyone an explanation with your barefooting. You do not owe strangers, employees, any of them. You do not owe anyone any explanation of why you barefoot. It is your protected right. There are no laws or health codes against being barefoot in public spaces. And you're protected under HIPAA. You don't have to disclose that information. But, you know, definitely confront them and address that there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States in public spaces, and that it is your right to be able to barefoot in public spaces. And, you know, when it comes to a place in which, you know, it comes to, you know, business or money, you know, I will often say something like, it is illegal for you to discriminate against me for barefooting due to, you know, my medical reasons, is what I'll sometimes say too, just so that way I have that, like, this is a protected right and this is my protected right and this is my medical right kind of, you know, to give that extra edge sometimes to avoid just having to deal with more argument. But I also, with that, will point out that it is illegal for you to kick me out for being barefoot, as there are no laws or health codes against being barefoot in public spaces, including this place. It is actually illegal for you to tell me I can't be here. Therefore, you're breaking the law, and I don't want to give my money to some place that's going to break the law. You know, I'm not going to let you bully me out of being here, because if I really want to be here, it is my right to be here, but I'm not giving money to this establishment or this place. I'm not giving my money to any place that operates under breaking the law, or their employees at least do. And as dramatic as it sounds, sometimes it takes setting that boundary for people to realize, sometimes it takes being dramatic, you know, for people to realize that there is a need for respect and that they don't know what they're talking about. And yeah, I mean, it's that simple. And I personally wouldn't recommend giving my money to any place that's going to discriminate against me. But I also understand in certain areas where you may not have, you know, as much accessible in terms of, you know, getting what you need and shopping and things like that. But I do encourage you to still stand up for yourself and to pursue complaint and, you know, to and also on barefootislegal.org, you can file an unfriendly business. You can also reach out to, you know, admin for support, or also, you know, come on here and can try to, you know, help with support on how to deal with these issues. But I definitely recommend, you know, reporting an unfriendly business and looking through channels of being able to report an unfriendly business and to be able to advocate for yourself and stand up for yourself, but also to make a point, not just for you, for few that are also barefooters. So we are up on the 60-second warning. This show did end up unexpectedly going to 3:30 today. I guess there was an issue with it being scheduled, since there was no show scheduled for 3 or after us today in general, I decided that I'd just, you know, stick with what's, you know, on the screen. Yeah, usually the show will end at 3, so this is an unexpected thing, so I hope you guys got to enjoy the extra listening time. But this is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. You can check us out at barefootislegal.org for more information and resources. But take care, guys. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle, and we'll see you next week at our regular time. Bye-bye. Take care.